The Westwood One Podcast Network.
I got hit with the back injury in 2016 and missed that whole season. And I did not know how to deal with it. It had never been in my plans. It had never crossed my mind that I could get injured, that I could miss a whole season. And I did not handle it well.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit Podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup. All right, y'all, welcome back, man, to the TNQ Podcast. Thank you again so much for bringing us back today. We got J.J. Watt. We got a Houston Texan. We like to say when we bring the SEALs on, we got one of our own, man. But as far as Texans, we've adopted him, too.
He's an honorary Texan,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, man, I've been looking forward to having him on for a while. It does so much for our community, and his background, the way he came up, I can't wait to hear what he has to say about just about anything, man. So I know it's going to be a good one. But before we do that, man, let's get into one of these listener stories. My never quit story is not near as difficult as most, but it is my story and it means a lot to me. In late 2017, I thought I had everything figured out. I thought I'd found love and I thought I'd found happiness. I won't get into any details, but that all came to an end through events that eventually came and led to the downfall of that relationship. I had been pulled out of the bliss of that period in time and came to a sudden realization that the life around me that I had been distracted from was all but kept poorly maintained. My physical health was at an all-time low. I was 270 pounds and I'm 5'4". My mental and emotional health was dwindling down to nothing, and I had felt completely and utterly hopeless. I wasn't sleeping, wasn't eating, and wasn't communicating with anyone. I ditched every responsibility I had to dwell in my own despair, and saw no light in the long tunnel I was walking in. I had considered suicide every day and found myself staring at a Smith & Wesson SD-40 in my hand several times, wondering if I should just end all of it right now. It was then that I decided to pick up Marcus's book, Lone Survivor. I had seen the movie when it came out, but I hadn't reflected on it too much, and I had never really read the story. The book absolutely rewired my perspective on everything. I will say to this day, Marcus, your story saved my life. It taught me to persevere and strive through the toughest adversity. And that, no matter how bad life gets, there's never a valid reason to give up. It taught me perseverance through the toughest adversity, and I told myself, no matter how bad life gets, there's never a valid reason to give up. Since then, I've gotten myself down to 180 pounds while gaining a significant amount of muscle mass. I'm in the best shape of my life, and I am still not finished. I continue to push myself every single day to improve myself in any way that I can, being more open and converse with others. I've always been a socially anxious and quiet person, to learning about anything and everything that I can. I am currently working towards my recently set goal, after much thought, of becoming a Navy SEAL. Well, Connor, man, good luck, brother. And sometimes we get stuck in fights that we didn't see coming, and every now and again, you got to take a step back and reset and see what's really going on in front of you, and then push right through it and reset your goals, just like you did, man. There's no harm in doing that. It's good to do that every so often, just to remind you that it's good to be alive. So, thanks for writing in, brother, and thank you for pushing forward. Thanks for telling me your story about how the story of our team helped you too, man. That means a lot to me when I hear that from you guys. So, thank you so much for writing in again, brother. God bless.
Do you love the T&Q podcast?
Yeah, why don't you use that one?
That's pretty awesome, actually.
All right, guys. Do you love the Team Never Quit podcast? If so, share the show with a friend. The show is available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, pretty much any other podcast player. You can also listen to it on the website if you'd like at teamneverquit.com/podcast. We got a ton of great episodes. Has some incredible guests, including David Goggins, Peter Berg, Steve Callahan. Man, this list goes on and on.
Have you checked out the new gear we've added to the T&Q shop? New hats, new shirts, and new backpacks. No matter where you find yourself, this stuff never quits. Head over to the shop and get yours now.
If you're already following us on Facebook and Instagram, then you know that we keep our followers up to date with new gear, new sales, new guests, new events, and tons of other stuff you won't get anywhere else. And if you aren't following us yet, you're missing out. Follow us right now at team_neverquit. You can keep up with Marcus at Marcus Latrell, Morgan at Mojo Latrell, and me, I'm Andrew Brockenbush on Instagram.
And look, do you want exclusive access to the show and bonus behind-the-scenes content? You're going to want to join us on Patreon. You get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content, access to the exclusive Patreon community where you can support others, and you get rare access to Marcus, Morgan, and all of our guests. We've got some amazing tiers you can get in at. You can get some custom phone backgrounds for your phone. You can get some sticker sheets. You can get a challenge coin that says T&Q teammate. You can get this box loaded with really cool gear, like a coffee cup, a challenge coin, a custom aluminum pop socket. You're not going to want to miss out on this community. And special, special shout out to Joshua Markham, as he's our first ever Patreon member. And we've already got a bunch of people joining us there who are now part of this community. And we are so grateful. Join us at patreon.com/teamneverquit.
We were talking about you a little bit earlier and everything that you have done. And thanks again for everything you've done for everybody. Seriously, man, if we don't get into doing thanking you for that, especially during the hurricane. That was something else, JJ. And, man, hats off to you, brother. Absolutely. That just squared away goodness.
I'm truly amazed at that as well, especially as that, did the momentum of that surprise you?
I mean, it was insane. Yeah. I mean, I obviously had a modest goal that I thought we could reach. I honestly wasn't 100% sure. And then, I mean, what happened was a phenomenon, and it was incredible to watch and witness and to be a part of, and just to see the outpouring of support from here, there, everywhere, all over the world. I mean, it stunned me, and it was, gave me a lot of hope and a lot of positive vibes, because it was, you know, in today's world, there's so much negativity out there. And that was when I saw that, and I saw how many people out there were willing to help people they've never met, that I was like, okay, there is still good out there.
That's kind of when it gets drawn in together, man. We got to go through all that chaos. Hell, when everyone gets hit, when it comes to the hurricanes, we can get into this part of the podcast anyway. This is a great story, but man, weather doesn't have, they don't have a salary cap or anything like that. I don't care about religion. When that water comes in, everybody's in it. So it was a man, watching us all come together like that was amazing. You leading the charge on that was something else too, brother. So here's what we do, man. In the beginning of this, we're going to ask a couple of questions, just kind of break the ice and get your brain power going. And then we'll just kind of ease on into one of your never quit stories, and one of either your hardest one, or some people have like their entire life's a never quit story, a never quit moment, so you can pick either one of those you want. And then we'll wrap this thing up, kind of some lessons learned in life, what you can pass down to the young ones. You know, the kids, we got to, it's kind of incumbent upon us now to start teaching the ones under us. And we'll wrap it up and call it a day. You good with that?
Sounds good to me.
All right, I'm going to shotgun you with this one, buddy. All right, so if you had the opportunity, these are off the shelf, off the cuff, way out in left field questions that just kind of get your blood going and make you laugh a little bit.
All right.
If you had to get into a ring with anybody, who would it be? Between Brock Lesnar and Mike Tyson, and why?
Oh, man. In their prime or today?
Oh, no, it has to be in
their prime.
It's
a great question, too.
Yeah, because I knew you were going to ask me that. I was like, I should have said it. In their prime, because I've been giving this a lot of thought, especially as big and mean as you are or can be. I was like, okay, I got to throw some thunder out at him. So, yeah, Brock Lesnar in their prime, man, or Mike Tyson in their prime?
Man, that is...
yeah.
I think... I think I'm going Tyson just because I'm either going to be out in the first 5 seconds or I'm going to run around and just try and tire him out. I mean, obviously, I'm not going punch for punch with him. Whereas Brock, I feel like he could throw me in a headlock. He could throw me in like a leg lock. He could snap my arm. I'd rather just get knocked out cold right out of the gate.
That's funny you should say that, because when I was thinking about this, I said if I had to choose one of those two, I'd go with Mike too, because he's going to knock me out so fast. Like, you're right. Brock's going to come storming across the cage and like pick you up and slam you and then twist you up and put you in a pretzel for a little bit and make you feel it for about an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather just one shot right to the nose. I'm out cold.
All right. Here's my question. Go back all the way to around 2005. I was on a mission in Afghanistan called Operation Red Wing, man. A lot of stuff went down and we came back. And you got to become a member of our family through that community, through Patsy Dietz and DJ. And then, man, coming here to Texas and doing everything that you do and then playing for the Houston Texans. All the people that we know, I mean, from Cal and Hannah, the owners, and everybody that we've run into, and as many times as I've stood beside you and we've, you know, kind of hung out, why is it I don't have your phone number? How come you
That's
know
a great me? Question.
Why in the hell have we never exchanged phone numbers?
Half a mixed feeling, brother.
That's a great question.
He gave it to me before you walked in.
I have this thing with the SEALs. Like, I've been so fortunate and lucky to be kind of like welcomed into that community, and I don't feel worthy of it in any capacity. So when I'm in it, I'm like a kid who sits in the corner. I just want to watch and observe, and I don't want to screw anything up. So like, I'm so thankful and grateful that they've let me in, that I almost want to be just silent because I feel like somebody's going to realize I'm there and be like, why is that guy here? So I just chill. I don't ask for anybody's phone numbers. I don't talk too much. I try and just be there and enjoy it. I think that's why.
No, that is the exact answer I give Melly every time. I can say, like, did you get a swap phone number? I was like, no, why? I was like, man, I don't know. I feel like if I ask him for it, everyone does that. And it's like, that's kind of the mod answer, but that's right. But I'll eventually get that done. A lot of people don't know, yeah, and I don't know if I've ever thanked you for this, man. Yeah, you wear a.
I'll shoot him over right after this call, because now I got yours, so I'll just text it over.
Right on. Good, good. And thank you for wearing that memorial patch in for the guys in your pads, man. I heard about that a long time ago, man. And I think about that every time I see you out there. I know that you're doing that, man. That means a lot to everybody, and I just. It's something, man, the way you've watched out for us and kind of incorporated, I mean, part of the family now. So thanks for all that, man. But all right, bro, next question.
Oh, my pleasure. I don't have a lot of superstitions with my game. Like, I don't do a lot of, like, have a lot of rituals or superstitions or with my uniform. But ever since 2012, I've worn that patch on my shoulder pads every single game of my career. And they changed my shoulder pads out once. And the one thing I said when I came back in after they changed them, I said, you better move that damn patch over, because that sticks with me the whole time. So it's a great reminder for me, and it was an incredible gift to me. It's something that's always on my mind, and I'm very appreciative for it.
Yeah, man, that's cool. Thank you.
And our community knows that. I got worried about that when I was overseas, and we started chatting about that up. So just to let you know.
Yeah, just like your community, we don't talk about it.
We're well aware that you do that. And humbled because of it. So, again, there's another thank
you. You guys are the best. You deserve it. I've always said that you guys deserve the recognition we get.
All right, bro, we're going to jump right into this. We're going to, before the storm hits too hard, or we can get as much from you as humanly possible. A lot of people come in here, man, because they're starving for something. They're stuck in a moment that they can't get out of. And you know, you've been around a while now, that, man, it's there really are no good and bad times. There's just the times and how well prepared you are for them. And every kind of situation that you get in, man, if you take something good and bad from it, you learn from it, then you're less likely to repeat that moment. And we all get into certain situations throughout life. We have to. Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't be living. And although the situations may be different, man, a lot of times the way we get through each one of them is similar, and we can apply that to each other. And that's kind of what we've created here, man, a community of people, men who come together, even in the hardest moments, and push through just about damn near everything. And having you on here is a big deal because of all your accomplishments, man. So if you could start out, and please, man, if you will, just tell us some of your greatest never quit stories or story.
I mean, one of the toughest times that I've ever been through, I mean, obviously I've been fortunate to play at the collegiate level, at the NFL level, and to have some great moments. But, I mean, my toughest moments as an athlete were 2016, 2017. I went through two season-ending injuries, and I had never been through that. I mean, I've been lucky enough and fortunate enough throughout my career, throughout my life, to not have any real major injuries. And then 2016, I mean, I was coming off of my third Defensive Player of the Year award. I mean, all pros and all that. And I was like, okay, this is, I'm doing what I was supposed to do. This is what I trained for. This is what I worked for. This is what I was supposed to do. And then I got hit with the back injury in 2016 and missed that whole season. And I did not know how to deal with it. It had never been in my plans. It had never crossed my mind that I could get injured, that I could miss a whole season, and I did not handle it well.
If you would, man, would you explain how that happened? How you got injured?
So I mean, it was initially during the previous season, in the middle of the season, was back squatting, and it was just a fluke thing. I wasn't even on a heavy set or anything. I was on a warm up set on my way up. And I must have not locked in my core or engaged or done something weird. And it went, and we went to the hospital and did all this. And they basically injected it. And I was fine to play the rest of the season. But then the next off season, it flared up again. And that's when I needed surgery. And they said I needed to get surgery to fix it for good. Went and got the surgery. And I mean, it was, tried to rush it back. I mean, I wanted to play for the season. I had the surgery like 2 or 3 weeks before training camp, and I wanted to play for the season. And so I tried as hard as I could to get back, and I did all the workouts, and I still had that invincible mentality. Sure. Where I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, I just got surgery, but I'm going to build this strength up. I don't miss games. Like, it wasn't even a possibility to miss a game. And then the third game of the season, I felt my leg go numb again, and I knew exactly what that meant, and I had to get surgery again, and my season was over.
It's such a double-edged sword, because there, like you, there was never a question, hey, how fast, and it doesn't have to be all the way, can I get back in the show? And there had to be somebody on the other side saying, hey, it's too soon. For brothers, like, hey, look, I ain't listening to what you have to say, because my brothers need me out on the line.
Yeah, that's what I do, man. Injuries, like when we step into this, we know that that's part of the game. And I remember when my first back injury, I guess we can say it now, we're old and we got parents or we got kids and everything. Like, I had that invincible too, man. I was like, hey, let's just get out here and you can beat me with everything you got. And I remember after I got hurt the first time, I was, same thing, trying to get back online. I didn't start feel that little chink in the armor until I got hurt again. Talking about doing a little bit of nothing, but it was the same injury. And that's when I was like, damn, yeah. You know, all right, maybe it wasn't a fluke. And I, with us, man, we still never back off of it because we have to work out anyways just to get through life. It's part of our ritual. It's like, this comes with this. Like I said, there are no good and bad times. It's just, man, all of this is thrown into our game of life and we have to deal with it. But it's that, it is, man. After that first one, you're like, damn it, you know, I can get back out there. And then I think you learn what happens is, and as we get older, man, it's, and you can't appreciate this till you actually get up here and you understand the old man strength. But you're talking about, hey, you actually learn how to move your body around your injury and know what exactly it will that will flare that thing up. And then sometimes it's a fluke, man. It just happens. Like, you turn your head the wrong way and fall out for a month. But it's just funny. Any other injury doesn't really connect like a back injury does. Because once that thing goes down, man, legs go numb, can't feel your fingers. They start tingling. And then you just – it's pain central, man. And you just – there's nothing you can do. It is, man. It's frustrating.
Yeah, and the one thing that I realized through it all is that when you're listening to doctors and you're listening to trainers and you're listening to people tell you how the rehab process is going to go and how you're going to work and this is the timetable, as a person who your whole life has done things a certain way and you think that you're different than everybody else, you're like, yeah, that's how it should work, but I'm wired different. I'm different, so I'm going to be able to speed that timetable up. I'm going to be able to do this faster. And then you realize that that's almost the exact opposite of how you need to think. And so I had my second back surgery, And I finally told him, okay, your plan. I listen to whatever you tell me to do. And that one, I had to bite my tongue a whole lot, but now I don't feel my back at all. I don't ever have an issue with it. I haven't felt anything. So that was a swallow my pride, shut up and listen type of moment, which that was a growing moment for me, because up until that point, it was kind of my way or the highway. And then I had to learn that there are people out there smarter than me that do know better.
That would be the advice that I would give to all our listeners, is like, you're hearing that from one of the most elite athletes on the planet, and he's telling you, listen to the other side in order to get back to baseline and be as good as you once was.
Yeah, it's tough kicking that ego thing out. Go ahead, brother.
I still apply that today. I mean, I'm still applying it to workouts and to things now where, but you have to be, there's a fine balance with it, because you can't turn off that part of you that makes you that animal, that makes you who you are and makes you great. But you have to be able to have the open-mindedness enough to listen to other people and at minimum accept their opinions and use the information that you can use, and then also combine it with that just raw emotion and power that you have.
Well, I kind of related to like a shot caller. You know, now that we have that, with all those back injuries and the coach, everybody telling us what to do, man, we're still going to go out and get that aggressive side. The minute we step too far, we get shocked. You know what I mean? It'll lighten down your back and down the back of your legs. And it's like, all right, I'll slow down. I'll listen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that was the first one. And then obviously the next year was a broken leg. That was just a pure fluke. I was pass rushing and my buddy clipped my heel as I was pass rushing, and I went to stop. Changed direction, and he clipped my heel, so I took a little bit too big of a step and my leg just snapped, and that one sucked. But that very fortunate, through both of them, I had my girlfriend, now fiance.
Yeah, congratulations on that, man.
Thank you, I appreciate it. She was incredible through it all. I mean, she had torn her ACL, was coming off an ACL, so I was helping her recover, and then I broke my leg, so she was helping me recover. And I mean, I've had some.
Hey, good on you, bro. Spots. Hey, that way to go, man. That's sacrifice for your fiance, man. She was suffering with a broke leg. He's like, man, you know what? Baby, I love you. I'm going to break mine too, just so I can hang out.
Yeah, exactly. I figure solidarity.
Right?
Know, we'll be on the couch together.
That's it, man.
She helped balance me out, because for 2 years, I was going through the thoughts of, is this over? Is this the end of my career? Am I ever going to be the same? Do I have to retire? And the public was giving me those thoughts too. The media and the social media, and people saying I was done, and people saying it's over. And if he does come back, he's never going to be the same. And she was there every single day building my confidence back up, telling me it was going to be okay. I am going to be the player I was. And then I got to go out there last season and once again be an All-Pro. And I credit her a ton with basically being my therapist throughout the last couple of years, and I'm very thankful that somebody was by my side to help pick me up every day.
Oh, hey, we couldn't do this without our women. That's a huge misconception with guys like us, man. When you get our asses whipped so bad, we go back. Who do you think heals us up? I mean, you know, you get your ass whipped all the way back to your woman, and man, she's the one there that puts you back together piece by piece. I mean, they're twice as strong as we are in that regard, man. That's why we're kind of built the way we are. And God bless them, man.
And they've seen us at our darkest and most vulnerable moments, but that's what makes the relationship even stronger, is when you see each other in those moments and you help build each other back up like nobody else could. Those are the moments that make you really strong.
Hey, man, those define with a back injury, man, when you're in that brace, you can't reach around. You can't take care of yourself. You know, you've got a good woman, man, when you test the faith right there in the beginning. Like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and break everything in my body. You're going to have to, man, like a kid. Only I'm almost 300 pounds, so you're going to lug my ass everywhere. It's just, man, it's miserable. Yeah. But we're going to get through this. You got one like that, seriously, that will literally stand through that with you, man. Nothing else matters. I mean, that's that true love right there, bro.
Yeah, we're hoping those types of days are behind us. We knocked them out early on so we can really test the relationship. So now it's all happy days ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of how we kind of look at our life too, man. We got all that misery out in the first 40. You know, gold is forged in fire. The hotter the fire, the purer the gold, man. So at least the back end, we just have a good time with this whole thing. But let's back this up, man. A lot of people around here think that you're born, raised in Texas, like pure Texas, man. They don't. Can you tell us a little bit about your family? Like, where'd all this start? I mean, you come from a big family. was your dad, your parents.
It must be something in the water since all three of you are playing pro ball.
Yeah. Let's talk about that,
it's
man.
It's pretty crazy. So I grew up in Wisconsin, a small town. I mean, my graduating high school class had 140 people in it. My dad was a firefighter for 29 years. He's a firefighter. My mom started as a secretary at her company with no college degree, and she worked her way up to being the vice president of the company. So they kind of set the tone for my brothers and I. I mean, we were middle class. We weren't rich, but we weren't poor. And we had dinner on the table every night, and they gave us opportunities to play sports and things like that. And it was just my brothers and I, and we would, you know, old school. We'd play football in the backyard. We'd play roller hockey in the court. We'd play whatever we could. It was always outside, and we were competing and doing something together. And our parents, my dad was sports, and my mom was school. So if you came home with bad grades, you'd show it to dad because you'd hope he wouldn't tell mom. If you had a bad game of football, you'd run to mom because you knew dad was going to be pissed. So we kind of had this whole balance in the household where somebody had your accountability in everything and you couldn't get away with anything. And I think that's what helped build the self-discipline and the work ethic that got us to where we are, obviously, all three of us in the NFL now.
Well, you're and three brothers, you're the eldest, right?
Yeah.
What's the age separation on you guys?
So I'm Derek is 4 years younger than me, and then TJ is 2 years younger than him. So they played together in high school and college, and I obviously didn't get to play with any of them until we got to the NFL. Hopefully this year I get to play against Derek.
How is that, man? I mean, is it with when you walk on the field with your brothers, that competition? I mean, is and my brother and I have in our relationship, man, we made a pact since we were 17. We no violence against each other whatsoever. It's kind of weird, but you know, last time we did that, it was a nightmare. But when you get on that field against them, man, it's the love you have for each other. I mean, that game's got to be epic.
So I've had two opportunities to play against them, and I was hurt for both times. So I haven't actually done it yet. But this year we play against the Chargers, so I get to actually play against Derek. And the weird thing about that is he's obviously on offense, so I'm going to go directly against him.
Yeah. Chargers, it's going to be a Watt Bowl.
It's going to be
electric.
You know,
to say the least, man.
Once you get on the field, it doesn't matter. I mean, now am I going to do? I mean, it's going to be normal. I'm trying to say, like, am I going to?
No,
like,
it's not.
Pull any extra,
there.
Who's mom and dad?
This is going to be awesome, man. They got to have a camera at the house, right? With your parents, these like they're wearing the shirts that split down the middle.
Oh yeah, yeah. Derek and TJ played against each other last season. And I watched the game, the whole game, because it was a night game, so I got to watch it. And they only went against each other one time, like physically head up, head to head against each other. And it was the first play of the game. And I have never seen a softer football play in my life. Derek was going to block TJ. TJ was going after Derek, but it was kind of on the backside of the play. So it was like neither of them hit. I was like, can't be the one play our family is known for right there. So hopefully we get at least some sort of collision in our game this year.
Oh, man.
What would you guys be like if you guys went head-to-head on the field?
Well, we used to go head-to-head all the time. And like I said, when we were 18. And
17.
We made a pact with each other never to touch each other again. Probably because the reason we made the pact is because we did get into it and we went to the hospital.
Yeah, both of us went up in the hot. We got a fight.
So,
you know, brothers fight back, but back then, man, as we grew older and got more and more trained up,
we weren't big guys
until we got into
college. What's that?
It's never gotten close.
Nope.
No.
Not since.
Man, we don't even. Not
especially,
at all.
Especially not now with everything in our background. I mean, there's no telling what we're.
It's not even worth it. Yeah, either you get to a level where you train, and we were talking about this the other day. Some buddy of mine was getting upset about something. I was like, hey, man, you literally, we're at the point in our lives now where we've been trained into the capacity to where we have to defend even people from ourselves if we get upset. You know, it's a level of clarity and maturity and discipline, really. People think we have a lot of patience. We don't have any patience, man. What we have is discipline. We got our asses whipped through our entire lives. You know, Mojo and I weren't big when we were little and younger, because we were twins. So all of our friends, I mean, we still have the same friends we've had since grade school, and they were all big. They all played football and they kind of looked out for us. I mean, they beat on us just as much as they looked out for us, but that turned us kind of in the right direction.
We were 5'6" when we were 18, and we were 6'5" when we were 19.
Yeah, I grew another inch.
But when win?
Right, right. Well, we left for the military with 685 pounds. I come back at 265, 270.
Football coach was like, Jesus, where were, like, you guys at 20 years ago?
I was like, man, this is all anthrax. This is what happens when you get 9 rounds of it. Because we were on that whole, I mean, no wife, no kids. We were married to that life. And when you get into that community, it's just like, I mean, the separation between us and y'all is a degree. I mean, y'all are the kind of the pinnacle of athletic profession, and mental and physical. I mean, we it's like we were talking about last time I was down there visiting the team, man. Like, we still build stadiums around our gladiators. I mean, back in the Rome, they did that. We still do it this day, man. But you could take that football away from you and put anything we use in our hand, and in a couple of weeks, man, it, you know, be dynamic with it. So it's
Have you and your brothers locked up in the recent past, or you guys?
Paid for by NHTSA.
Kind of over all that.
No, we're very, we'll get in competitions with, like, weightlifting, running, jumping. We've never in our whole lives, I mean, even young kids, we've never really fought, because, like, it was us against the world. Like, if anybody else, like, if we could talk trash to each other, we can work out, we can compete with each other. If anybody outside of us three tries to come in and compete with us, then all three of us are against that person.
That's like, exactly how we were. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing about in this business, man?
I could tell TJ he had a horrible pass rush move, or he stunk, or he had a bad game. But if I see somebody else saying that, I'll rip him to shreds. Well, because I'm like, I get to say that. You don't get to say that.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly how that's brotherhood.
That's brotherhood. That's how you know your brotherhood, man. Like, I don't have to apologize, you know, even with the guys that we run around with. I mean, you can be born with your brothers, and then you can spill blood and shed blood and go through those hard times through life, man. It builds that bond. And, you know, anytime we go, we can definitely pick on each other, but don't come in on the outside and try and do it. It's just, it's not how it works, man. But the drive is that we drive each other. Like, we keep each other humble to a letter. I mean, if I ever came home and we were driving around in the truck. I was telling somebody this the other day, man, and come my buddy's like, hey, I saw you the other day, you were doing this. And I was like, yeah, that was cool, man. He's like, oh, so you think you're cool now? And kick me out of the car while it's moving, you know, kind of just to keep you humble. And that's what's beautiful about going through life, man. And every time we left home, we would just find our friend's doppelganger somewhere and just keep that flow going. I mean, when you're born with it and you got a multiple brothers, I couldn't imagine. That's something. That's like an unstoppable force. Yeah.
Hey, we keep each other very humble, because if you do anything, whether it's a commercial shoot or it's something on an interview after a game or something during the game, as soon as you get back to your phone, there's going to be about 45 text messages just ripping you to shreds. So we kind of learn what's acceptable and what's not by that, like, trial by error. If I do a cheesy commercial, I'm going to hear about it from my brothers before I hear about it.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, you're representing the last name.
Well,
you got to keep
it. I was doing something the other day, man, and the guy standing next to me is like, hey, I know there's a lot of people here and you'd be nervous. And I was like, I'm not nervous about that. I was like, even if I do good here, my crew is going to light me up, man. Everyone's watching this. I was like, you can't slip up, not even a second. Even if you do good, then they're going to harp on you about something. That's how they know they love you, man, is if they stop doing that, there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but I want to go back to when you said that we are 1 degree separated. Now, I agree that we have a lot of the same mentalities and a lot of the same work ethics, but I've been to Coronado. I went down there, and I got to shoot some guns, and I got to watch some training. And I promise you, you can give me 6 months, you can give me a year, I don't think I'm finishing that training at all. That thing with the sand, the running, the swimming, I'm dead.
Oh, yeah. So I didn't know that I didn't like cold water. Yeah, and you know, this wasn't in Texas history, okay? And I don't think it was in Wisconsin history either. But the Pacific Ocean never gets warm. Did you know that? And that's the reason everyone in California is so damn tan, because they don't get in the water. So when I signed up for this, man, Mojo was the one that was fired up about being a SEAL. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be great, man. I'm actually a pacifist, man. I hate violence. You know, I played tennis, man. I was in drama, all right? I had to do all this just to hang with him. And when I got out there, and you remember when you go to the beach and you get sand in your drawstring of your pants, how much that irritates you? I still pick sand out of my head to this very day. And I would say it like this, man. It's you can ask every team guy what makes a team guy make it through the training and what makes him one guy doesn't. And they'll all say something different. Mine is humor. I think you have to have a humor that kind of rolls with the situation. And then don't think for 1 second that it gets hard on us to where we're like, man, the reason we say never quit all the time is because we're always thinking about doing it because it's so damn hard, right? But that's kind of what you signed up for. Man, there's a big old shit sandwich on this side. But then you got to look at it like, well, that's all right, man. There's not very many of us that can handle this. So there's a lot of sandwich for us, right? Chaos and pain is relative to the person going through it. And once you get into that state, that flow state, or that battle rhythm, man, just like that game rhythm, it's kind of unstoppable, man. You rise to the level of the guys around you. Man, I was never the strongest, the fastest, man. I was probably one of the weakest coming out of there. But because of that one thing that keeps you driving you, like, man, once you start, you can't stop. That's how I know you'd make it through that. And all in there, man, because of how you have to study, it's the same setup. The way we do most everything we do, including training, as opposed to carrying a football and all that, man, it is. I mean, from the armor and everything. So
I think that's why I've gravitated so much towards that community. I mean, the guys and the mentality and just that what you have to have and the fortitude that you have to make it through that. It's so incredible to me, and it's fascinating. I love being around guys that have to make it, to push yourself to the absolute limits, to see the limits, and then to be forced to go past them and know what you're capable of. I mean, there's not many people that are truly aware of what they are capable of. And I think that's what's so cool about the SEAL community is those guys have all seen what they are physically capable of accomplishing. And they've pushed it all the way to that limit. And that's an empowering feeling.
That is spot on, man. That is the one thing that is unique about our community is the fact that you push the human condition to try to catch up the mental and the physical part. And that's why guys die and quit and break and stuff like that, because you're trying to wedge your body out of something that it's never been into before and keep it in there. And to do that, you have to break the body and then kind of reform the mind. And it's a callus, man. It just kind of carries itself. One thing into another.
If you had to go through training again, what is the one thing you would most look forward to? And then what is the single thing the last thing you'd ever want to do again?
Looking forward to would be graduation day again.
The first day and the last day.
I think the worst thing was, that cold water. It's a demoralizer. That's what separates that community with every other community, and every guy that makes it to Dutton is their ability to handle the misery of that cold water, period, end of discussion.
I mean, bro, it gets to the point, you're sitting there, and the class has kind of dwindled down, but you've been through some hard things together, and when you go through something with somebody, man, there's a bond that's formed there. And it literally gets to the point where it's so bad. I mean, it sucks so bad that you want to quit, but you're like, man, you know what? I'm not going to quit because I like watching this dude right here suffer. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life, the faces he makes, noises he makes, and the pain we get. But he always looks over and is like, hey, man, that sucked, but I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. So over time, man, it just dwindles down into the point to where that's how the team is formed. And that bond is just that unbreakable bond, knowing that, man, you will walk through hell with me, then fine. I'll always be here for you too. And if I could go, yeah, I was a horrible runner. I mean, to this very day, I'm terrible at it. So if I could go back, man, I'd probably want to be good at that. But I was good at the water. The problem is, man, they put these times on you and you have to swim certain times. Otherwise they kick you out. So when you're in the water, the instructors really can't mess with you that much. They can still get to you, but not that much. So it's kind of a freeing time. I mean, you're in your own head. You're thinking about what's going on and putting it all in perspective. Because, I mean, that saying we have in the teams, the only easy day was yesterday. We say that because every day sucks. So if you drag something from yesterday into today, then you're just piling that stuff up, man. And you just want everybody else to suffer. Because a hard time is not something you got to take every damn day. It's just something you can take. And you know that. So if it shows up again, you're ready. And it's that mental condition with anything. If you understand that your mind drives the body, and my brother and I started mentoring some kids to go into SEAL training, and we had them out doing push-ups for a couple minutes, man. They were already breathing hard and just dying. Couldn't even do, go one more. And then I was like, hey, look, man, it's all a mindset. What I mean by that is if right now, because you're doing push-ups and we're screaming at you, and it's been about a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, you're already worn out. But if you left out of here and went home with your girlfriend, went in the bedroom, you're doing push-ups all night, and you're screaming and yelling and breathing hard, and you never get tired, right? So it's literally a conditioned mindset that actuates all that stuff in your body that makes it drive like that. And once you learn how to manipulate that, your mind and your body, to condition to where you can turn it off and on, you can pretty much go through anything. And when you have somebody standing there next to you that's willing to go through it with you, well then, hell man, misery loves company. No one wants to be alone.
Yeah, incredible.
All right, hey, a Reebok shoe you put out, Valor 2.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that? And thank you, by the way, for those.
Oh man, my pleasure. It was a phone call that I was actually nervous to make because I had the idea. I wanted to make a military shoe. I wanted to do it the right way, and I wanted to make it a shoe that guys would actually wear, the guys in the teams would actually wear. And I also wanted to find a way to give back to the community because they've been so great to me. And I wanted to say thank you on behalf of everybody for all the incredible work that you guys do. So I called up DJ, who obviously, and Patsy, who I've been close with for many years now. And I said, hey, I want to design a shoe that is designed with a Navy SEAL. I said, I want to do it because I want it to be authentic. I want it to be real. I don't want it to be something where I'm creating what I think SEALs would want because I'm not a SEAL. I don't know what they would want. So I bought DJ and he came down here and he helped me design the whole shoe and everything. And we put the patch on the inside, the exact same patch that I wear on my shoulder pads that you guys wore during Red Wings or to honor Red Wings. We put there's stuff in there that I think that some of the fans don't even know. I mean, there's little straps across the laces that are actually pulled from the parachute straps from the parachutes you guys wear. There's like different colors that are specifically from the SEAL outfits. And so the whole thing that we wanted to do was make it authentic and real. And then Reebok came in with the second half, which I couldn't even do on my own. I did take all my personal proceeds and donated them to the Danny Dietz Navy SEAL Foundation. And then Reebok came over the top and said, we want to match every shoe purchased. We donate a shoe to the Navy SEAL Foundation. For the families and for the SEALs and the kids. So that was incredible of them. And just the thing that I wanted to do was honor Operation Red Wings and all of those guys. And then on the sock liner on the inside of the shoe, every man that's been killed in action or missing in action since 9/11, to honor them and their families and the sacrifices, because I'm trying to use my platform as best I can to honor the people who deserve to be honored. And I think that you guys are extremely deserving of that. You deserve the fame that we get.
I want to know, where does that come from? I mean, professional football player, but you came up with your brothers and your family and you got out here to Texas and you're successful in all of those areas. A lot of people don't know that you visit the Texas Children's. I mean, you go see the kids in the hospitals and you do so much stuff off of the TV as opposed to on, man. It's just kind of a lifestyle that's genuine, that people really need to understand that when you're out there doing the things that you're doing, you're talking about and you're opening your mouth about it, man, it's not fake. You're not trying to please any yourself. You're trying to help everybody else out, man. And I kind of never wavers. I just wondered where that comes from.
I came from my parents, honestly. I mean, my grandfather was in the Korean War. My dad is a firefighter, like I said, but my parents always taught me that we're fortunate. And that, like I said, we were middle class, so we were not rich by any stretch, but we weren't poor. We had a dinner every night, and I had two parents at home who took care of us, did our homework with us, and they always taught me that there's people out there that have it worse than you. There's people out there that are struggling, that don't have meals, that don't have homes, that don't have families. And they taught me that early on, and they taught me to give back. And I mean, when I was in middle school and high school, it's not like we were giving back money or anything because we didn't have it to give back, but we would volunteer and we'd do time around the community helping out. And then as I got to college and I got out of my little bubble of my small town, I got an even greater taste of how vast of a difference that there is between the middle class, the upper class, and then people who are struggling. And so the more that I saw that, the more I wanted to help and the more I wanted to give back. And then I got to the NFL and I got a chance to meet all these people in the military, and I got to see all these different parts of life. And I think I just realized that I'm extremely fortunate. I mean, think about what I do for a living. I chase around a football, I go work out, and I get paid handsomely to do it. And I'm very lucky and I'm very fortunate. People wear jerseys with my name on it. They come to the stadium. And I've always thought that it's crazy to me that I get to do that when there's people that are literally defending our freedom and providing us with safety and security, who people may never know their names. And so that's kind of something that I want to do, is help shine a light on that, because I feel like we almost get this undeserved fame, which what we do is cool, don't get me wrong, but we're not saving lives. And I think that's what's, I try and give that back whenever I can, because I almost feel undeserving of everything that I'm fortunate enough to have.
I mean, would that be a best piece of advice you could pass down to an upcoming athlete who's coming in and wants to be truly successful in what you do? Because you embraced the life, right? You've embraced the not only the Texas, but our town, our family. And man, it's kind of crazy that chaos brings us, you realize how small this place is. I mean, we're all connected in through that one event, man. And it's just that World War II veteran, Mr. Fly, when his house, Melly went in to go rebuild his house, and you came in on the backside when everyone was, I mean, no one knew what to do, really. I mean, we were still all in the middle of the chaos, and only a few people kind of stepped out in front and shined like that. It's creating a family out here and doing it, you know, one step at a time, one person at a time. And then having the best part about it, man, is like after you do all this for our community, we get to go out and watch you play. You know, when the enemy comes into our city and tries to, you know, take our honor away on the field, man, you guys step up every time. And that's something to be commended for, brother. Absolutely. So thank you again so much for coming out and doing this, man.
My pleasure, man. I feel like that's why every time I step on the field, it feels different. You know, I mean, my rookie year was really cool and we did a lot of cool things, but I feel like every time I step on the field here and I put on the uniform here, the people, it feels like family. And when I got drafted here, you know, there's this video, everybody booed me. They didn't want me. And now every time I step on the field, I feel this like kindred spirit with the people down here that are, they've taken me in as one of their own. And I feel I'm extremely proud of that. Like, I'm so proud to wear the Texans colors and to represent Houston. And, I'm happy that I can go out there and perform and do my best for these people and try and make them proud, because I'm very lucky and thankful to be a part of this community. And it's been very special. I just have one big goal left to accomplish for this place. And I'm working extremely hard to try and make that happen.
You'll get there.
I can only imagine the party we'll throw.
Oh man, it's going to be epic. I wouldn't get too bent out of shape about that booing when you first came in. It's called a Texas Howdy, right? And so the only way they can whistle and applaud you is if they had to boo you first, man. It's just to let
just
you know.
We just seen how tough.
Let you know that you were in the building. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Now you're the face of the town. I see you every morning on Channel 2 News, my town, H-Town.
It's a great spot, man. I love it here. The people are unbelievable. The food's great. They love football, and I couldn't ask for a better place to land, even if I didn't know a whole lot about it before I got down here.
I mean, that's truly got to make a difference in the way a person plays, too, man. If they're integrated into the community, then you absolutely know. It's kind of like being back in school. You know, the people in the stands, they come there to see you actually play, man. And those of y'all who get out and integrate into the town and do that, man, it's just, it's got to be an extra shot of fuel for y'all.
It's insane. It changes not only how you play on Sunday, but it changes how you train. So like right now we're in the off season, obviously, where everybody can be anywhere and do whatever you want. I wake up at 5 a.m. every day to go train at the facility. And I mean, there's plenty of days where I don't feel like waking up. I don't want to go work out. I don't, and it's the off season. I mean, I don't have to be there. There's nobody checking me off to see if I showed up today. But those days where you don't feel like it, not only am I thinking about my teammates and obviously my personal goals and all that, but you think about the fans and what they expect of you and what you owe to them. And I think that that's something that with that bond that we've built and that sense of family that we have, I feel like if I didn't go in on a day where I just didn't feel like it, I'm not letting only myself and my teammates down. I'm letting the 4, 6, however many millions of people live here in Houston. So it's really cool, and it's definitely helped me become even better than I probably ever would have been without it.
I agree with you on that. And that's the motivation that, man, the hard days, like when you don't want to go in, you don't want to go work out, that's when you look at everything around you, and that's the reminder to get your ass. That's the kind of the hard day. I mean, you want to go in every day and you want to work out because it's so much fun, and that's the life. And then when those moments pop up, that's when you're supposed to look up and check your area to see that.
Yeah, because we don't have the opportunity to get up and go, man, if we go outside, we're going to get shot at. Well, the country expects us to do that, just like the town expects you to suit up and work out. So good on you for carrying the load on that one.
I got a question. One more, man. What moment? Was there a moment when you saw your name on the back of a jersey for the first time, when you took a step back and you're like, man, I've really done something here. I really accomplished what I was going after.
I mean, I'm trying to have more of them, because I've realized that's one of my faults, is that I don't fully appreciate some of the moments that I'm in. I remember my first ever game was a preseason game here with the Texans. It was a Monday night football preseason game, which obviously the preseason doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people. But for me, playing on Monday night football against the New York Jets, even though it was preseason, that was one where putting on my jersey that day, I remember it. And I was like, man, this is it. Like, this is it. And I was down here in Houston, Texas, way away from home, a place I'd never been. And that was special. And then the pick six in my rookie year of the playoffs, I remember seeing that the next day on the highlights on TV, on the paper. And that was one of those where I was like, this is going to be something special. This is really, really cool. And then there's tons of them, but it's little things. It's like last night, me and my fiance were out at dinner, and this probably 7 or 8 year old kid walks over to the table and asks for a photo. I mean, that is one of those moments where 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I'm back in Wisconsin, how could I ever have imagined that down in Houston, Texas, someday, a 7 or 8 year old kid who wasn't even born back then is now asking for my picture. You know, there's little moments almost every single day where I'm like, this is crazy and this is cool.
Another great piece of advice you just dropped on me too, man. And what is it that it's not that you don't, I would hate to say that we don't appreciate every one of those moments, right? And because I'm so, anytime I ask for a picture, I'm like, hey man, thanks for asking, that kind of deal. But it's that cross between that, I think that upbringing too, that humbleness, right? You get too far down that, then you stop appreciating that when they stop coming up, then you're like, why is anybody asking for this, that, and the other, man? The way you've done it is that family atmosphere, like a big brother to that kid. It's not a fame thing. They can't take that away from you. You've created something with this community in this town, basically, and not just in Texas, but everywhere. They know what to expect with you. It's not a front, man. You are what you are, and you act like that, and you carry yourself that way too, man. That's good stuff, man. And so it is. It's those little moments that make you appreciate every damn day. So thanks for reminding me of that, JJ. Hey, is there anything you'd like to plug or promote before we wrap this up?
No, man. No, I'm just excited to be here. I mean, I would plug the Valor shoes, but we did that, and people sold them out 2-3 times over. Reebok kept calling me, and they kept saying, hey, we sold out of all these. Should we do another stock? And I was like, well, if you're going to donate again, hell yeah, I'm going to donate again. So they restocked it. They sold out again. So I'm launching. I'm actually on Thursday night, I'm launching the JJ3, which is a new version of my shoe. And coming later this year, I may have another special version like the Valors, because I always try to work that in. But no, I don't have anything to promote. I'm just appreciative that you guys had me on, and thank you guys for everything that you've done and the whole SEAL community, man. I mean, it's just an incredible community, and I can't tell you how grateful and thankful that I am that everybody has welcomed me in the way that they have, because it's such a special place with the families, the guys, and the teams, and it's just, I'm very thankful.
You bet, brother. You bet, man. Hey, good luck this season, man, and congratulations again with the engagement. We'll be over there watching you play, brother, so train hard. And thank you again for coming out here and doing this, man.
Great talking
to you,
brother.
Thank you, guys. You have a wonderful day.
All right, dude. Later.
Appreciate y'all.
Want to give a big thanks to JJ Watt for taking time out of his busy schedule, spending some time with us today, and sharing his never quit stories from college and in the pros.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. Great story, man. I've been looking forward to having him on the show for a while. JJ, again, thanks for all you do for our city, man, our state, our football team,
and the military.
And the military, yeah. Absolutely, man. Hands down. That was something, man. I learned a lot myself. Crazy. Every time we have somebody on here, man, it teaches you something new about yourself and the way you can live life. So, JJ, you're a shining example of someone trying to be good. You know?
I can't believe he said he looks up to us.
Yeah, it's because we hadn't hung out that much. Did today's episode ignite a new fire in you? If there's one thing I've learned, it's that sharing your story is a powerful thing. There are people out there that need the kick in the ass, and your story could be the one thing that changes their life forever. Take a minute to share your story at teamneverquit.com/podcast. Just click on the Share Your Story button in the menu so we can encourage you along the way. Your story just might be shared on our upcoming podcast.
Do you think this show could benefit someone else? Go leave us a review on iTunes. It helps others discover the show so we can keep encouraging others to never quit. Hey, if you missed it earlier, Patreon is the place to be. Patreon is the place where you get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content of the show. You even get access to bonus episodes. So you remember back in the day, we did After Action. We've got some more After Action episodes coming your way. We've got some behind-the-scenes extra video content coming your way. We've got all kinds of cool stuff. I can promise you this, there's two things you're really going to want to join us on Patreon for. We've got a bonus episode about TBI with Marcus, Morgan, Dimitri, and all of the guests that they had on the last show for them. And then we've also got a really, really cool episode in the works where Marcus and Morgan are actually being interviewed by their wives. You're not going to want to miss it. So if you want to join that, if you want to get access to that content, head to patreon.com/teamneverquit.
So, again, you guys, thanks for bringing us back, man. Thanks for listening. We couldn't do this without y'all. I'd like to thank God personally and Jesus Christ. My wife, Melanie, thank you for letting us do this, and thanks for being wonderful. I'm out.